There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can't get any sleep? Well, hang in there, because we are back with your favorite Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Muhammad, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Jacob Redman. Jacob, how you doing on this fine morning?
I'm doing okay, Zach. I did not sleep very well last night, so I really felt like the Avatar gods were manifesting this episode. But it's all right, Zach. You're my forever host. We're here together. I'm excited to be talking about this episode. But actually, I'm a huge snowball of nerves, because we have a quite special guest on the podcast with us.
Yeah, we have the great Naomi Calhoun, famous from the Mike White Was Rob podcast. You've heard her appear on the Rob Has a Podcast Network numerous times. Here she is, Naomi Calhoun. Naomi, how you doing?
I'm great. I love the implication that Mike White Was Robbed has made me famous, because I haven't seen any dividends from that yet. And so I would like that to start happening soon. Guys, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Would it have been better to introduce you as last place in Renap Taskmaster?
Damn, Naomi, shots fired.
Naomi was robbed. It's fine. It's fine. I've won Taskmaster in my heart. So that's all that really matters to me.
Mine too. Mine too. You were hilarious. So
thank you. No, I'm so excited to be here. And like, I didn't have a good night of sleep last night, so it's going to be a party on this episode, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't know why, but like, I really think that it was just like, okay, we're going to be talking about nightmares and daydreams, so go ahead and have a nightmare yourself. Wake up at 4 in the morning so that you're tired. It's going well. We're doing okay.
Yeah, that makes three of us, because I could not fall asleep last night for the life of me. I ended up falling asleep at 2 and waking up at like 7, so... I got a solid 5 hours of sleep, so I'm like ready to go, hopefully not delirious on the podcast.
Or maybe delirious, because every delirious episode we have, we always get feedback about how it's like funny that we're off the rails. So, you know what? Maybe we should pull all-nighters and then record.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to take this train out of the station and off the rails. Guys, what was your nightmares about? What kept you up last night?
I can go first. So I woke up at 4 a.m. because my foot was stuck in something in my dream, and I tried to get it out, and I woke up to myself literally kicking the bed, and I like woke up and I was like, what just happened? And I like popped up. I was like, huh? And I looked around. I was like, okay, nothing happened. And I went back to sleep. But for some reason, like, it just felt like I couldn't get out. So there you go. That was my nightmare.
I actually didn't have a nightmare last night. I just couldn't sleep. But I'll talk about my nightmares later on. We'll talk about Wishbone again and how he used to terrify me.
Do you know what Wishbone is, Naomi?
Do I know what Wishbone is? I was a PBS kid. How dare you?
I'm just saying, it's important that you know that it's like the most benign dog of all time.
I have a photo of Wishbone on my phone, actually.
Don't show Zach.
Show me.
He's in a little Shakespeare outfit. That's why I saved it.
You're going to scare him. Oh my god.
So cute.
He's got a little rose in his mouth. He's so cute. My nightmare last night was that I was at the airport and I needed to get past customs, and they're like, so where's your letter of recommendation? And I was like, what? that's not a thing. And they're like, no, you need a letter of recommendation to get into the country. That's how it works. And I was like, I don't have one of those. And I just like was like bawling and crying at the airport. And then I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to make it into this country. And I was like, wait, it's 6 a.m. in New York City. What's going on? Like, wow. I don't know why. I've never had a dream like that before, but that was like the first one.
What was the country that you were trying to make it into?
I don't know why I was trying to go to Israel. I don't know. I think it's because I was talking about it last night with my friend, but like, I don't want to go to Israel. Like, I don't know why that was on my mind, but that was the kind, and I needed a letter of recommendation. And I was trying to like call people and get them to like forge me a letter, but the guy was right there, so he knew I was forging the letter. So it was very strange.
Yeah, you've already missed your opportunity if you're trying to forge the letter like right at the end there.
Yeah, in line, just like typing on my phone. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's like whenever I was at school, like I would always forge my mom's signature, but then sometimes I would like clearly have like the thing on the desk and it was like unsigned, and then I would sign it real quick and give it to my teacher, and like they didn't really care, but it was like very obvious what I was doing. Like, you have to, if you're going to forge a signature, you have to do it before you get in the classroom, or else it's just way too obvious.
I used to have to forge, I don't know if you guys played an instrument or your school was like this, but from in like middle school and elementary school, you had to get your parents to sign your practice sheet to say that, yes, this person, you know, my child did practice. Of course, I didn't fucking practice. I didn't want to practice. And I didn't want to ask my mom to sign it because she was a music teacher and she was going to yell at me because they didn't practice. So yeah. I would forge her signature all the time. And like sometimes, I don't know if I can't remember if I ever got caught, but I know that my mom knew what I was doing. And I was just like, you know what? I'm like, I don't care. I have no morals, and I'll forge your signature whenever I want. I wasn't very good at it though, but she has an easy signature to copy. So it's like, it's easy.
Well, see, so my mom's name starts with the J, and all her signature is just like a loopy J and then our last name. So like our signatures are just the same. So like I just copied my signature after hers, and then I just did my signature, and then boom, forged document.
See, you're lucky, Jacob. My mom used to sign her full name on things sometimes. So then when I tried forging that, it was like, damn, I had so many letters to forge. It was awful. Because
yeah.
I would get it. Oh, continue, Naomi?
No. Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, I was going to say, my forging story is when I was in elementary school, I would get in trouble a lot. And they'd send us home with disciplinary reports. And then I would forge my signature on those. So my mom didn't know I was getting into trouble at my religious elementary school that I mentioned last week.
Do you guys take pride in your signature, or do you not care what it looks like? I think this is an interesting divide of people.
I like my signature.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's like the one thing I can draw nice, because my handwriting is normally awful, but then I learned how to do the cursive just for my signature, and my signature looks pretty good, if I do say so myself.
Do you happen to have a piece of paper and a pen next to you?
Yeah, I do.
I'm like, I've been trying to draw
mine. I would love to see it. Yeah, I'd love to know yours. Let me see if I have a
this piece paper's of like paper. Too small for me. I can't do it. Because here's the thing. I don't take any pride in my signature. It's just a scribble. Like, it's just a scribble. But I scribble it. Ooh.
Oh, I like the Z, as you would call it.
Zach has a lot of interesting, like, right, the Z and the K, and they got a great shape to them. You guys at home can't see them, but the Z is really powerful.
We'll tweet these out.
Yeah. And the M just shoots off into the distance. It's a very powerful signature.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Oh, so kind, gassing me up for my signature.
Let's see yours.
No, Naomi, you go.
Okay, this is mine. So okay. I don't really even spell my name fully. I kind of skip the L, but it's kind of blended with the H.
It kind of looks like Naomi Call is what I see.
But yeah, I think you skip a few letters in there. But
yeah, life hack, if you just spell your name wrong, then people can't copy your signature.
Yeah, there you go. Anyone like is trying to like write out all the letters and it's like very obvious. All right, here's mine. When I actually sign it, it's like essentially just J red, and then I give up.
A cursive J is one of the best letters, I have to say.
I agree. I'm very happy about it. But I will say, I've started signing my name on documents now that I know it doesn't realize, like literally just like this. For those at home, it's a smiley face. And that is, as long as you're consistent, it counts.
That's like signing an X and just being like, yeah, it counts. Yeah, I gave up on like a credit card scribble. Like, you know, if I'm buying groceries and it's like, sign your signature, it's like, yeah, whatever. Okay, here's two lines. Congratulations.
See, that's why you got to go for the smiley face. Join the movement. It's we're popping. So far, we have one member.
I'll think about it.
Okay, perfect. Although then you could steal my credit card and you'd be able to get away with it and no one would ever be able to tell.
Yeah, are you coming back to New York anytime soon? No reason.
Yeah, you want to just steal my wallet real quick. Yeah. All right.
I didn't say that. I was just wondering.
No, I'll keep it far away from you. Anyway, signatures aside, we're here talking about a TV show. Was that what we were here for?
Yeah, season 3, episode 9 of Avatar The Last Airbender, Nightmares and Daydreams.
Yeah. This is kind of an episode that's like in a filler spot right before we have like the mid-season finale next week with the Day of the Black Sun. The past few weeks, we've gotten a few like more consequential episodes like for the rest of the series. And even saying that, like they weren't super consequential, like the Puppet Master kind of matters, the Runaway, not so much. This is the episode I think that matters the least to the whole series. So yeah, I'm excited to have some fun as we recap it. You know, it's not super important that we hit all the beats, so it should be a good time.
Yeah, perfect spot for me to come on. Absolutely no consequences whatsoever of this episode.
See, and that's perfect because I think I'm very curious to know how you got into Avatar. I know you know, you might be considered a casual
very casual.
I don't know why it's so funny.
Well, so Avatar was a show that was on. I was a big Nickelodeon kid. Like, I watched a ton of TV, especially in that range of like, my mom worked at an elementary school. And so when I was in middle school, I could come home at like 2 p.m. and from like 2 to 4, she wouldn't be home. And Avatar was one of those shows that was always on the TV around 2 to 4 p.m. So I watched it casually, but I never really got beyond the first couple episodes. Like, I have distinct memories of, you know, of Aang in the ice and like all these certain iconic early episodes. But beyond that, it was really just me being like, man, Appa looks cool. And I did have a math teacher in seventh grade who shaved his head into an Avatar arrow. Like, shaved his hair into the arrow, and like,
wow.
He was a fucking weirdo, let me tell you. But that was one of the funniest things he ever did.
That is committed to shave your hair into that. Like, go for the bald cap and then paint it on.
He was a lunatic, but that's what he did one time, and that was Mr. Kelso. But Avatar was like, I don't know who, I said this to someone recently, is that like, I didn't know how episodic TV really worked. I just watched what was on my screen. I didn't know that there was an order to things that you should try and follow. And actually, you can find out what the episodes are going to be ahead of time and potentially watch them in order. I just watched what was ever presented to me. And so I never really watched Avatar in any sort of sequential order or like through a whole season. But I love the show now. I think it's great. I like understand its cultural relevancy, and it's one of those shows that everybody is obsessed with where I'm like, I get it, man, and like, I'm glad you guys are having fun. I've never watched it in full, but this was a great motivation to get back into it, and I'm very glad to be here.
I love the idea that you just thought every single TV show was an anthology. You're like, no, there's no way that I can connect the episodes. Like, I'm not going to be able to understand what happened. Like, I'm just, it's life comes at me. I'm just like moving through life, and then like whatever's on the TV is the only thing I got. I appreciate that.
It must have
been a game changer when you realized that TVs did have episodes, though.
When I first got Netflix, like Netflix on like the Wii, so you could use the app, right? I loved the TV show Bones, and I just scrolled through the episodes because it would just pop up the description. It wouldn't even show you a thumbnail. It would just be like episode one description. And I would just pick which episode sounded fun to watch. I wouldn't watch them in order. I would just be like, oh, this mystery sounds exciting. Even though Bones is a show that is meant to be watched in order. I was like, no, I don't want to do any of that. And it's insane. I think after that, I watched like Dexter, and I started to realize that like, oh, you're supposed to watch these in order. And like, there's a story. There's a big story that's going on that you should pay attention to. I don't know what was wrong with me as a kid.
That's funny you mentioned Netflix on the Wii, because when I first watched Avatar, that's how I watched it. I watched it all through Netflix on a Wii. So when I first watched it in full.
Well, I played the Avatar video game on the Wii, so we all have we all have fun connections.
Was that your favorite Wii video game? What was your favorite Wii game?
That's a good question. Probably Twilight Princess. My mom didn't want me to play it. It's like the Legend of Zelda game that had like the fairy that was like not dressed all the way. And so my mom was like, that's not appropriate. You can't have that. I'm like, it's a fairy, dog. Like, don't be so worried. Don't be so pressed about this. I didn't say it like that. But that was my favorite game, because when I finally got to play it, I was like, this is so cool. I think that's where I'd go.
What about you, Zach?
I think Wii Sports was always really fun for me. I don't know why.
Wii Sports?
Yeah, I just like Wii Sports.
Not even a Wii Sports Resort.
Wii Sports Resort was like kind of glitchy with the Motion Plus. That's true. Know. I didn't love it. But Wii Sports, the OG, just tennis, baseball, boxing, that was my jam.
Yeah. All right. Naomi, what was it for you? Sorry, Zach. You forgot the best one, bowling.
Bowling. Oh, yeah, true. Bowling.
Okay. When you throw it behind you and all important. The little Wiis jump up and turn
around. Iconic. All right, Naomi, what was your favorite Wii game?
My little brother and I would play the absolute shit out of Lego Star Wars, to the point where I brought my Wii to my current apartment and hooked it up, and I play Lego Star Wars and I play Super Mario Galaxy every once in a while because I love those games so dearly. Lego Star Wars, no question. Best game in the entire world.
Yeah, that is a really fun one. I remember, like, I would go and, like, look at, like, game guides so I could, like, learn where the last of the things that I had
to find was. Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Those mini kits, they took for fucking ever to find. And, like, my brother had to do all the pod racing levels because I couldn't do them. I don't know what it
is
about,
like, fun.
Being a sister, but you just can't do levels that involve like flying a vehicle. I could never do them. I always had to hand it off to my brother, and I was like, why am I sucking so much? I was always very mad at myself, but I can never do it. Never pull it off.
Okay, internalized patriarchy. I see you.
I'm trying to fix it, but I couldn't.
Oh, I almost made you die on the podcast. That would be very sad. Cause of death. Podcasting.
That'd be embarrassing. Anyways, don't we have an episode to talk about?
Yeah, we do. We should probably get to it.
I think we were trying to whenever I was asking about the how you got into it. Before we get into the episode, just quickly, what kind of bender do you think you would be? Naomi, is there a type of bender you'd be attracted to, or are you going to leave it up to the experts to help you figure it out?
When you say attracted to, you mean like appeals to me being?
I mean, I guess you could also say which one you're like attracted to, but yeah, I meant like which one weird. Like do you think you're like the most?
Well, I don't actually really know. So like I'm a Slytherin, and that's what I know about myself. But I don't really, watching this, I don't know what I would be. And I don't know if there's like a comprehensive quiz to take, but I don't know what do you guys think is like the defining characteristics of each branch that I should look and analyze to think about whether I belong.
That's a good question. How will we define the branches, Jacob?
I think like probably if you like stability, then like that seems like earthbender motivation. If you're comfortable with change, that's usually like a waterbender motivation. I think there are some questions that we could ask to like kind of piece it together. So I guess like maybe the first thing, like how do you feel about change? Like
I'm okay with change. I like new things. Although sometimes I am very stuck in my ways. You know, I don't want to. I don't like moving. I don't like leaving the borough that I live in. I've lived in Queens for 6 years. Okay. I don't like the idea of not living here. But I like new things.
Okay. How do you deal with conflict? Do you get upset? Like, do you? Yeah.
I'm usually willing to talk it out. I like to talk it out and hopefully come to a conclusion where everybody is happy and the lines have been repaired, where everything's back to normal. And, like a classic sitcom, everything's good, back to square one, nothing happened.
Okay.
Jacob, do you have anywhere you're leaning for Naomi?
I mean, I'm kind of leaning earth, stayed in the same place, like in like the borough that she's in, like wants to talk things out, like not flying off the handle, getting upset. How do you feel about worldly possessions? Or do you give all of them up?
For what?
I don't know, for inner peace or something. I don't know what they want.
Zach, what does this question mean to you? Hang on.
Would you give up your Lego Star Wars and Wii?
Shit, would I?
Well, I realized I didn't ask anything that would, like, see if you were an airbender. So this is my terrible way of asking if you're an airbender. I think I'm leaning earth. Okay. Zach, does that feel about right?
Yeah, that feels kind of right. Coming into this from what little I knew of Naomi, which I listen to you on many podcasts, but I don't know you personally. But then I was thinking firebender, but maybe not after hearing those answers.
Well, I feel like firebenders, like, you know, I've just known for so long that they're the bad guys. So, like, I can't see myself as being a firebender, but maybe I am. I mean, I turned out to be a Slytherin, and I've come to accept that. So maybe it's kind of a mix of the two. It's, you know.
The Slytherin firebender, like, cross-section are just the people who full-on love being evil. Like, they don't even mind that they're the bad people. They're just like, let's go for it. So,
true.
You know, I'm going to say tentative earth. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Tentative earth. See. I'll agree with that.
I do think Toph is my favorite character. That's for sure.
I mean, that's just taste right there. That has nothing to do with what bender you are. That's just like your taste.
True.
All right. Well, okay. We can talk about an episode of Avatar. We've had plenty of pre-show banter. I've been having a lot of fun, but I guess we can talk about the episode. We start out with some koala sheep. These things are used quite a lot in the episode, and they're adorable. I absolutely love them. I think that they're cuter than regular sheep. Big fan. Any other thoughts on the koala sheep before we talk about the actual episode proper?
One of my notes is therapy would be so much better with koala sheep.
I agree. It really would be. Anyway, so Sokka and the rest of Team Avatar, they all show up to this like clearing. And Sokka's all happy because this is where they're going to take on the invasion. This is going to be the launching point for the invasion force that's showing up in a few days. Sokka talks about how like they picked it because it's like some perfect little place and that they're ahead of schedule. Zach, I had a question for you. They were behind schedule from the Painted Lady episode. What do you think they cut out of their schedule to be able to make it up 4 days early?
That's a really good question. Do you think they actually just started eating on their piss breaks? Like what they end up doing?
I mean, that was the suggestion, but I hope that's not what they did. Like, I was hoping maybe they like took out like a retreat in the mountains, or like they were gonna like help a town and they're like, nah, we'll just like let that town burn or something like that. Like, I hope they're not eating on their pee breaks. I also hope they don't let a town burn. I don't know.
Maybe their 4 day gambling binge got cut short by Toph being caught, and then so they were like, all right, I guess we gotta get out of here.
Yes. Yeah, because they did plan in the schedule, like, you know, a 2 week gambling binge, and it only was like a week long. So they're like, free time.
That
could be. Maybe they, because I feel like everything that they do always takes longer than what, like, we expect it to. Like, they show up to the town and then they meet a puppet master who, like, controls bloodbending. Like, they didn't have that in the schedule. But anyway, they make it 4 days early. That's the important part. And what's important here is that everyone else is exhausted, except Aang. Aang is very nervous because the invasion is in 4 days, and he really needs to get things started here. He starts to like try to go to sleep and calm down, and we get into a dream sequence. Now, I don't know how much we should go into these dream sequences and like break them down beat by beat because they're honestly confusing. Zach, maybe you have better notes than me. But
let's see. I'll try to break this down. So Aang tries to sleep, but he has this nightmare week where he confronts this like fat caricature of the Fire Lord. It's not exactly a one-for-one comparison to Ozai, but then it's revealed that Aang isn't wearing pants. So Ozai's like, "Where are your pants at?" Even though Aang was wearing pants like 2 seconds earlier. And then Aang looks down and sees that he has no pants on, and his nightmare commences.
Yeah. There are a few like fun like animation gimmicks that they do here. So he looks like Goku in this one.
I wrote, "What is Aang? What is this Aang Kingdom Hearts ass outfit?" Is what I wrote.
That also seems pretty fair. Seeing Goku here made me a little bit nervous because I know Kylan from Big Brother 23 was talking about being Goku all the time. Really kind of triggering, honestly. Did either of you watch Dragon Ball Z? Is that something that you all are familiar?
Yeah, I watched it episodically, actually, when Naomi was talking about how she never watched anything episode by episode. I remember I'd wake up I'd make sure I'd be up at 9 p.m. every night to watch Dragon Ball Z in order.
Wow.
Committed. Yeah, I I never really watched Dragon Ball Z. I just think it wasn't something that I thought I could get into. But I also probably didn't really know where to watch it.
Yeah. That's one of the shows that like I probably have seen every episode, but also like not in order. Like I'm very much the Naomi experience here. Yep, pulling in Naomi. So that's Aang's first dream. He like wakes up and he like freaks out a little bit. And I like that the first thing he does is he confirms that he has pants, which like isn't even necessary when you're sleeping. Like, I don't know about you all, but I don't sleep with pants on, especially not the pants he's wearing.
Hey now. No, I'm not going to reveal my bedroom attire.
I'm not to intrude. Do you wear jeans to bed? Because that's the equivalent.
This is a great question, though, because I had a friend who slept in jeans. And I don't want to call them out by name, but it's one of the most psychotic things I've ever heard in my life. And they stopped doing this, but like for a long time, every year or so, I would check in with them and be like, are you still doing this? Because you should stop. Insane.
So let's break this down. What's the reason for doing that? Like, is it so they can wake up and be ready to go earlier? They're too lazy to take off their pants.
I think they said that to them it was comfortable. Like, I know. I would never sleep in pants to begin with. Even when it's like cold out, you're eventually going to warm up. Like, you don't need the pants on. Just add another blanket. You know,
it just seems wild that he's like concerned about it. It's like, all right, I don't know what you're doing here. Anyway, he stands up, he decides he's going to get to training. So he decides, he's going to set off and train some more. Then we go into, Zuko. We get a lot of Zuko this episode, and pretty much his entire storyline is that, he's very sad that he has the thing that he's been wanting for two seasons. You know, I said that he's going on his Billie Eilish journey. Like, this really is him looking at his, like, everything that he's wanted his whole time and then not being satisfied with it. Like,
yeah.
Pop off.
He just sings, "You made me hate this city." Yeah.
Exactly. He's about to have his happier than ever turn. Like, in a few episodes, when he defects the Team Avatar, that's when he has his, like, happier than ever, like, turn and, like, in the music video. I'm not sure. Have you seen that music video, Zach?
I gotta listen to this Billie Eilish album just so I can get all of Jacob's references, because it's not the first time he's referenced it. So between these 2 weeks from now to the next podcast, I'll listen to this Billie Eilish album. On my way to work one of these days, I'll listen to it.
Did you know I went and saw her in person, and it was like everything, like it was just perfect.
You met her?
So no, I just saw a concert. If I met her, I would not stop talking about it.
This would have to become a Billie Eilish podcast. Like, it would literally have to pivot to that if you met her.
Let's do it. Special episode of Avatar where I just talk about Billie the whole time. Just kidding. Okay. I will not do that to you all.
I wrote in my notes about this little Zuko scene. I wish I could have my partner hand delivered to me on a little throne. Like the little like thing that they carry him around in. Like, if I was dating someone who I didn't live with and like I was just like, I want to go visit them, to have like a bunch of people just walk me over, like that would rule. And then also May wants rose petals on her fruit tart, which is an insane choice. That's my notes on this episode.
Wait, why?
It's rose like petals are taste like nothing. That's not glamorous or tasty.
Like, no, you don't rose. Have to eat them, but they look fancy.
Number one rule of cooking, but when you garnish something, it should be edible. You shouldn't garnish with inedible things. Like,
well, yeah, they're not going to garnish with like a Hot Wheel, but like they can still garnish something that's like edible, but that you don't need to eat.
But what if somebody does eat it? Rose petals are such a gross thing for her to say that she wants on her fruit tart. But I do understand very deeply wanting just a fruit tart. Like, that's a mood.
I think I'm Team Naomi here. I don't want rose petals on my fruit tart. My inner fat kid is like, if it's not something I can just like munch on, then I don't want it.
Right. This it's like insane. Vegetables, but worse.
Yeah, true.
Wait, what? Vegetables you can't eat? I am, okay.
That's why it's worse. You can't even eat them.
All right. A fruit tart does sound really good. In fact, like I looked if there's any fruit tarts that I could deliver to my house. I couldn't find one this morning, but I was really feeling in the mood for one. I had a question for you all. When like Zuko gets up, like he has all these servants that are like asking if they want things. If we had to rank them between fresh fruit, washing your feet, a head massage, and a hot towel, which one sounds the best?
Is it head massage, they say?
That is what they said, yeah. Oh, I wrote this down. I have them ranked and ready to go, but I don't want to influence your ranking, so I'll
okay,
go last.
Okay, here's the thing. Washing, out of this context, washing feet sounds great. But in the context, he's literally just standing there. So it's like, why do I want to wash my feet right now? I'm going somewhere. Like, when they ask him. But I will say that, to me, fresh fruit is last. I can get fruit anytime. Then hot towel, foot wash, head massage.
That is, like, that's insane. I cannot believe that you put fresh fruit last. Like,
well, I'm not vegan, Jacob.
I can eat more than fresh fruit. Just because you can get fresh fruit doesn't mean that you shouldn't appreciate it. Zach, what's your ranking?
What are the four things again?
Fresh fruit, washing feet, head fresh massage, fruit. Hot towel.
Fresh fruit last. Then,
yeah!
Then we'll go head massage. Then we'll go washing feet, head massage, hot towel. A hot towel just feels so nice. I don't know if you guys ever received a hot towel. When I was an actor playing the prestigious role of refugee number 3 on Van Helsing, after our set work, they'd give us hot towels. And it was so nice just wiping off all the makeup with hot towels. So that's what I would go with.
I love how you built it up with prestigious role of refugee number 3.
That's more famous than Mike White Was Robbed Has Made Me, I'll tell you that.
Oh, true.
Okay, here's the definitive ranking. I know everyone's excited. Washing feet is last. That sounds gross. I don't want someone else touching my feet. And if they're just washing and not even rubbing, it's not even that nice. All right. Next, head massage. I get like they can sometimes be nice, but ultimately I don't really want a head massage. But fresh fruit, I can mess with some fresh fruit, especially if it's like, you know, a good pear, a ripe banana. I love some fresh fruit. Hot towel is the best. Zach was correct. A hot towel is just so rejuvenating. It really does seem nice before you go outside. Just wipe off the hot towel. So there you go. That's the definitive ranking. Anyway, Zuko only takes the hot towel. Then he has like a whole fan club that's outside of his place. And like, he's going to walk between like his house and May's house, which is across the street. But like, is this fan club just paid off or like do they not really care about him? Because like, they don't, like if they really were a fan club, they would like run alongside the people that are carrying him. But as soon as he leaves the area, they just like don't care. Like none of them are waiting at May's house. They don't follow him. Like, they just are not that big of fans. Am I off here?
No, I think you're a little off here because a woman sprints out of the crowd and then she instantly gets, like, escorted off. So I think if you get a little too close to Zuko, the guards will, like, make quick work of you. So I don't know.
I just
also,
like
they're, well, they're watching when he and May are, like, cuddling on the couch. He literally just, like, turns around and is like, guards. And, like, they're there. Like, they're they're everywhere.
I mean, the guards are definitely there. I just was surprised that like the fan club's not following him to May's house or like some of them aren't waiting there. Like it just seemed weird that they wouldn't, you know, camp out more.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, you got to give the princess space. I feel like if you were like harassing somebody who could shoot fire at you, you take it a little slow.
That is fair. Yeah. Yeah. Especially like we know that the Fire Nation's not very nice to people that are like defecting or get in trouble. So maybe like it's not worth the punishment if all you're trying to do is like catch a quick glance. All right. Maybe I'm wrong here. Anyway. Yeah. So he goes to May's house. We switch back to Team Avatar and Team Avatar is all waking up except for Aang. Aang is just punching a tree a lot. This reminded me of like the Shang-Chi scene. I'm not sure if like you've seen it, but there's a scene where he literally is just like punching this like branch, or he's like punching this like wooden thing the whole time. Anyway, that sounds miserable. But he's been up the entire morning, just punching a tree. Katara tries to tell him that overtraining is a thing. He does not care. He punches the tree so hard that it sends a vibration through his entire body, which makes him fall. I really appreciate that animation trope, but ultimately Aang's like starting to fall apart here. He's really just going off the rails.
Bro, the fuck did they sleep through him punching a tree?
True. He was pretty loud. You're right.
Like
that's a good point.
I would have fucking tied that motherfucker to a tree. Like, even, like I, you're gonna smack. Oh my god!
That's wow! Thing.
Like they were really tolerant of Aang in this episode, where I would not have had the patience for him. The minute he starts waking me up before like and like you know before like 6 o'clock, I would have like been like, all right, I'm tying you to the, I'm water bending you to the tree. I'm freezing you to this tree, and I'll come get you in an hour. Like,
wow, Naomi's quite protective of her sleep. So I live next to a train, and the train, I'm sure like people might have heard this in their in the podcast at some points, like the train, like you can sometimes hear it in my house. I feel like I can like always sleep through it once I'm asleep. It never really bothers me. So I don't know, I feel like I might be able to sleep through someone punching in a tree. Like it can't be louder than a train.
Yeah, I don't know, because like I also used to live nearish a train or like on a busy sort of street, and like it never really woke me up. But I think that with a train, it's like a low rumbling where he's like punching and he's shaking the whole like shebang. I don't know, like it just seemed very annoying, and like everybody looks very sleep deprived. Which I have to say, the one thing I really liked about this episode and the animation style is just the sleep deprivedness that we see on all the characters' faces in kind of different ways, and like it's a great sort of giving each mm-hmm. person their little, like, you know, Aang has like the dark circles, and Katara's just like her hair's all messed up for a while. It's like, yeah, there we go. Some great variants in sleep deprivation.
Yeah, the show does a good job with sleep deprivation in general. Even in the chase we saw mm-hmm. that episode, everyone was sleep deprived, and like Katara's like eyeballs bulging out. That image is always resonates in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and Toph's like the whole time is just like slumped over, like clearly quite tired. Yeah. Anyway, so then like, you know, Aang's like super worried about this. He's saying like, you know, I don't know any firebending. And then Sokka points out like the best thing that he could, which is saying like, they're literally attacking during an eclipse. So there's no firebending. Like, how did Aang not think about that? I don't understand.
I think Aang is just too tired. He's just not thinking straight at this point. He's a little manic here. He's just not using his brain to the best of his ability. Because you're right, he should have instantly thought of that. That's the whole reason of their attack. They're attacking when firebending is in.
Yeah. I have to say that what I really liked about this episode, like, is that even though it wasn't, it seems like a goofy story on the surface, but I do think that it's a great way to show that your main character, your hero, is struggling and is struggling with the idea of being the hero. And I think it's like a great setup for the episode, rather than being like, oh, we're fighting, we're having a great training day, like this is awesome. Like, we don't get him being like whiny. We get him just like freaking out and kind of being, he doesn't back away from the challenge. He's just like, I gotta keep going. I can't possibly lose this. And I think it was a great character development episode for Aang, even though it feels like a throwaway. I don't think it actually is.
Yeah, that is true. Like, we do get a lot of Aang's character, like seeing the nerves. Like, we know from earlier seasons, like, he didn't ever want to be the Avatar. Like, he has this responsibility thrust onto him. He still is just a kid. And ultimately, like, we've seen him training for 2 seasons. But I think this episode does a good job of showing, like, yeah, even though he's been training the whole time, he's still woefully unprepared and he feels that. So I think you make a good point to bring it back to the actual character progression of it all, rather than the sleep deprivation of it. also, I love the line that like Sokka's saying, like, you don't need no firebending. And he says, plus it's a stupid element. Like, that's just such a good argument. Like, you can't even argue with that. Like, boom, facts done.
Yeah. I love that. Like, there's like the idea of just being like, yeah, but like fire is stupid. What does it do? And it's like war and destruction and violence, but like, yeah, it's dumb. I love Sokka so much. Like, he was always the character I remembered being like, that's my favorite. Even though Toph is kind of my favorite now, like, Sokka always has the funniest fucking lines. And you're just like, man, this guy's hilarious. Like, when he falls asleep and he's like, in the last episode, when he fell asleep in the bed and he's just like off the bed, you're like, they really know how to make this character just an insane person at all times. And I love him.
Yeah, they do lots of like quick jokes. Like, even when he like lays down and he like immediately gets conked out and goes to sleep earlier in the episode, like, he's always like, it's always quick to get a fun little animation joke with him, which I appreciate. Anyway, so then we don't see him training today. He just kind of does his training. He walks back and he's really tired. And then he does the thing where he like says goodnight to each person, like one by one. I'm pretty sure this is the show, The Brady Bunch. Can like, Can anyone confirm that that's what happens? Like where everyone says goodnight to everyone?
I cannot confirm that. I think my skin shades are a little too dark to have been watching the Brady Bunch.
Oh my God. I mean, I also didn't watch the Brady Bunch because I'm not 60 fucking years old.
True, that too.
But I think so. I think like what made me laugh about this is like, I don't know if you guys were ever, I was this kid a lot where I'm like the last one up at the slumber party and I'm like still kind of chatting and all my friends are asleep. Like mm-hmm. that's the kind of person I was. And so this was very relatable to me to being like, hey, also I thought of this thing. And I was like, Naomi, shut the fuck up and go to bed. Like, yeah. This is not the time.
Yeah. I feel like I would always be the person that's like talking. And then like eventually everyone else is asleep. And I realize like I say something, no one responds. I'm like, all right, everyone's in bed. But Zach, you're absolutely on fire with your jokes. Like that killed me. The joke you just made, plus your Hama X joke last week. Like,
honestly, I was proud of that Hama X joke when I had that in my notes. I was like, damn, this is a good one. Like, I don't usually pat myself on the back when I make a joke, but that one, I was like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, you know, if it's like not cool to listen to your own podcast, but I like this podcast. So of course I listened to it. So I was at work and I knew like the joke that you made, but you said the Hama X thing, and I laughed out loud at work, and I knew the joke was coming. And like people at work, like, so I like sit there and I like always, I'm always listening to podcasts. And so like sometimes people will like come up to me like, oh, what are you listening to? But then like sometimes just like laugh randomly on the desk, and they're like, what was funny this time? And it was like so niche of a joke that I couldn't possibly explain it to someone who's never like seen Avatar or anything. So no one else got to appreciate it, but I just want to let you know, Zach, that I'm still appreciating it this week as well.
Oh, shucks. What a great friend Jacob is. Look at that.
I said to Jacob, underrated podcasting duo, Jacob and Zach. I'll also tell you, Zach, I texted Jacob this. I was listening to last week's episode, which is a lovely episode. Audrey is so funny. And I was on a 6 a.m. flight. And I put in my headphones and I was like, great, I'm going to kind of fall asleep to this podcast. I'm going to catch up. And then when I wake up, I'll you know, get back into it. And then within under 10 minutes, Jacob makes a period joke. And I was like, I'm turning this off. Like, I can't fall asleep to this.
Yeah, that period joke really threw me off guard. Not to make this whole episode about last week's podcast, but I was kind of shocked that's where you went with the joke.
Look, not to defend myself too much, but I was not inaccurate, and I've heard no complaints. So I'm going to go ahead and...
All right, let me just file a complaint really quickly.
All right, yes, please do. Yeah, go in my Twitter DMs and then just, like, complain to me about it, and I'll, like, I'll air it on the podcast. So yeah,
go ahead. There you
go. Anyway, what were we discussing? Oh, yeah, he says goodnight to everyone. Oh, man. What happens next? Oh, yeah, he has
another dream. Another nightmare, yeah.
All right. Well, this one I kind of wrote down some stuff. He walks into the same room. This time he has all of his clothes on for sure. So much so that he has chains all up and down his clothes to confirm that he has his clothes on. This time he's like saying, oh, I brought my pants. And Ozai's like, yeah, but you didn't prepare for your mathematics test. And then obviously Aang freaks out because he doesn't have his math test and he gets nervous. I have to ask, why is it always a math test? Like, it feels like math is always the thing that people are worried about. Like, I don't know. I feel like I was always freaking about the vocab tests.
We get it, Jacob. You're fucking good at math. Leave us alone. I work in finance. Fuck you, Jacob. I mean... I actually
have gym class. Jacob with such heat. Sorry, that just seems funny.
I actually had gym class nightmares a lot of the time is what I have nightmares about. I have nightmares that I didn't bring my clothes to change into, that it's the wrong day, I go to the wrong class, and actually I should be at gym. Like, that's my nightmare.
Okay, like, that also makes sense. I feel like we just don't see that one portrayed as often. I feel like it's always math. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not relatable, Naomi. I'm sorry,
some of us sucked at math.
Yeah, I sucked ass at math, but I never had nightmares about math tests, honestly.
I just accepted that I sucked and I moved on. Like,
yeah, same.
Can I let you know the nightmare that I always have that's like about the school? It has nothing to do with the class, but it's that I go back and I go to high school and they're like, oh, we're so glad you're here. We're doing a production of Footloose. And for people that don't know, I was in Footloose when I was in high school and I like played the lead.
You were in Footloose when you were in high school?
Hell yeah. It was incredible.
I'm making fun of you. I knew that.
Anyway, other people didn't know this. Anyway, so I was in Footloose in high school. And I always have dreams that they're like, oh, we're so glad you're back. Like, the person that was going to play the lead is out, so you can do it now. And I'm like, well, I don't know any of it. I haven't done this in years. And they just like expect me to learn it. And so like I have to go backstage and like learn my lines right before I deliver them on stage. And then like, oh my God, it's so stressful.
That actually kind of happened to me when I was in middle school. When we were doing a show called Meet Me in St. Louis, and I was the general female understudy, but I didn't actually do anything because I was in eighth grade. And I was like, what's the worst that could happen? And then the lead of our show got sick. And my teacher, like 3 days before the performance, was like, Naomi, you're going to do it. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm like 13. I can't possibly be the lead in a musical right now. And then I literally got out of all my classes on that like Friday, on that Thursday, Friday. Like they gave me special permission. I would just go to my teacher's room and I would practice. And the art teacher made Meet Me in St. Louis, like the character's a waitress. So she made me a menu and put the entire script in the menu. So if I ever needed to know what my line was, I wish I lost it right after the show, but like, I wish I kept this. I could just refer to the menu, but like, yeah, I did it. And I did it for two freaking shows and like pulled it off, but it was so terrifying. I was so scared like the whole time.
That's an incredible story. Even better for your art teacher to come up with the idea to put the whole script in the menu. That is next level genius.
Genius. I loved her. I don't know why I remember this. We did like a project where we had to like trace our face. And I just remember she was like, you have a lovely profile, Naomi. And I was like, nobody's ever said that to me before. This is a very nice compliment. Like, oh, okay.
What do you mean trace your profile? How do you trace your own face?
So what she did is she traced our faces, and then we had to we cut it out of black construction paper, and then we put it on a piece of paper, and then we had to like draw what was like, you know, inside our head, or draw what was like, but really it was more just like, what is your, it was basically like a Tumblr blog on a piece of construction paper, right? Like, it was like, oh, I really like Skittles and music and blah, 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 you know? And I probably have that somewhere in my parents' house, but yeah, it was like basically, I don't remember how she did it. Either we were against a wall or we were like, you know, she shined a light and made a silhouette, but she just traced like the sort of like profile of our faces and then we cut it out of construction paper. Yeah.
Cool. And sorry, what's in your head all the time is Skittles. And what was the other thing?
When I was in seventh grade, I was quirky.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to talk about it anymore, so let's move on.
Right. Zach, what would be in your head in seventh grade?
Basketball would be one for sure. And then I don't know what would be the other.
Okay. I mean, basketball, that's a good one. You know, at that point, you probably hadn't read all the basketball
books. Did you have a favorite musical artist in seventh grade? Like, was there someone's music you were listening to all the time?
You know what it was? It was probably Chamillionaire, who's a pretty shitty rapper. But it was like Chamillionaire, like Riding Dirty and like Ultimate Victory. He had a couple of songs I like Hip Hop Police was a good song. He's not a good rapper at all, but that's what I listened to in seventh grade.
That's so funny.
Wow. I think in seventh grade, that's when I was going through like the Bo Burnham phase I had. So I was like listening to like all the Bo Burnham songs, thinking I was so edgy for like getting the jokes. I thought it was so funny.
This is very upsetting to me being in 10th grade and also going through that phase at the same time.
Well, we were probably the same age. You're pretty old.
Fuck you. all your listeners, wait till your listeners over the age of 26 hear that one. They're going to love that.
Well, they don't know how old you are. You could be like 50. Aren't you 50?
I'm 26. I'm 26 years old.
My bad. Sorry to all of our reasonably aged listeners. You're not old yet. Don't worry. Anyway. Okay. So then he forgot the math test. Is that where we were?
Yes. Yes. He forgets the math test and he wakes up in the middle of the night and starts training.
Yes. Yep. At least he's consistent. And then Katara like makes a real pitch to him. He says, or she says, "Aang, please sleep for me." And I really thought that would have been able to, you know, pacify him a bit. But even Katara's affection is not able to pacify him. It must be quite bad.
Yeah, and by now he looks like full-on manic. He's got like huge bags under his eyes, veins popping out of his eyes. He just looks very off-kilter.
Well, as someone who's perpetually has bags under his eyes, like, I don't really love this portrayal. Because, like, I'm not tired all the time, but people do ask me if I'm tired all the time. And, like, at one point, like, I wasn't getting a lot of sleep. And, like, people were asking at work, like, are you okay? Like, you just look bad. And I was like, that's so offensive. Like, why would you say that? But it's because I have these stupid bags under my eyes. So, I don't know. I just feel like we should normalize it. Don't point it out.
See, I'm the opposite. I always have bags under my eyes, and I am always tired, so I'm just used to it at this point. People come up to me, they're like, oh, you look like shit. And I'm just like, yep, that's how I usually look.
Oh, my God. No.
I like that your response is, yep. You're just like, uh-huh. That sounds about right to me.
Yep.
Anyway, all right, so now we go back to Zuko and Mei. Zuko and Mei are chilling on the couch. This is when we get the fancy fruit tart with rose petals on top. Anyway.
Here's my other note from the scene. If anyone ever orders for me and says, for the lady, I will strangle them to death myself.
Fair. Yeah.
What a Please horrible. Order.
Ugh. Yeah.
Zuko,
don't
like,
order for me like that either.
For the gentleman. No, it's like, there's something so horrendous about like people who order for you like that. It's just like, do you like, why are you treating me like a toddler? Like, this is horrific. Don't do that.
Oh, to be clear, I would love if someone ordered for me. If someone just like talks to the person so that I don't have to say like, oh yeah. And they're like, oh, do you want this or this? Like, I don't really care. Like just order for me. Like, that's fine. But I don't appreciate the like patronizing, like, oh, we'll have this for the lady. Like that feels a little much.
Yes. I mean, I do think this, the relationship between Zuko and Mei is really funny because there is like this early on, like sort of patronizing, they're just taking advantage of the guards and like, you know, they get waited on hand and foot, but it is funny how quickly like Zuko shifts away from this. We're going to get there. But like when Mei is like, do you want to go like make them run around in the palanquin and like drag us everyone? Zuko's like, oh no. And it's like, were they doing that for fun earlier? Like, was he that much of like a little, like, prick that, like, he was doing that?
I am 100% certain that Mei would just be like, hey, I need for you to get me here. And it's like, okay, great. Now bring me back. And it's like, oh, I thought you wanted to go here. It's like, no, I just wanted you to take me. Like, Mei's like the, like, stuck up, like, bored, rich person that has, like, no, like, yeah, nothing going on. So she just, like, bosses people around. So, anyway, but before we get there, we get Mei accidentally, maybe it's on purpose, not sure, but letting it slip that there's like an all-day war meeting coming up, and Zuko really freaks out. He really feels like he wasn't invited, that he wasn't, like he's not being included. And I feel bad for him, but honestly, if people want to leave me out of meetings at work, please go ahead. Like, if I didn't get an invite to a meeting, I'm sending a thank you card. I'm not getting upset about it. So, I don't know. I can't relate to Zuko here.
And especially like the all day war meeting. I love that Mei is like, oh, like that doesn't sound fun, or like, it's war, Mei. It's not fun. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
I think they're just so used to perpetually being in war, considering this war's lasted 100 years. People are just like in the fire, especially like the Fire Nation, like royalty and bourgeoisie. Yeah. I'm just like, eh, war. It doesn't affect us. We don't care. We're winning the war. So
what is it good for?
I thought the same thing. Yep. Anyway, yeah. So then Zuko's all upset that he's not invited. Then we get another scene, which at first like kind of confused me a bit. I've seen this episode before, but even still this week, I was like, wait, what's happening? Because like Aang is laying there and Ozai, like as actual Ozai, not like a caricature of him, is like, Aang, wake up. You overslept. You missed the invasion. And he's like taunting him. Then Aang like pops awake. He wakes up Sokka. And he wakes him up by pulling on his eye. Like, there is no need that you need to touch someone's face to wake them up. That is a bridge too far.
You skipped over one of the best parts. So Ozai flies away on a fire-breathing hippo cow.
Yeah.
Which was like the weirdest animal for him to be flying away on, just a cow hippo.
Yeah, I had my notes. I guess I got it out of order. Have you seen the movie Okja? It's on Netflix.
I know what it is because they filmed it here, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, well,
have I seen Okja?
It's a little bit creepy. some great vegan propaganda, honestly. But the flying cow that he like rides away on, the like hippo looking cow, was exactly like what it looks like in Okja, except that it's like, you know, they try to make it more realistic in the movie. But like they look like very, very similar. Anyway, so Aang like freaks out and he's like, I need to know what day it is. And Toph's like, it's 2 days before the invasion. And she's so done with him at this point. And Aang has a bunch of things that he needs everyone to do, because in his dreams last night, there are a bunch of things that went wrong. So he wants everyone to fix them. So for Sokka, he needs to climb some rocks to show that he can climb a cliff. So then he makes him climb a cliff that is about 200 feet high. For Toph, she can't drink any water because in the invasion, she had to go to the bathroom. And Katara has to put her hair up because she was caught in a train. And so she can't wear her hair down. Yeah, really demanding from Aang here.
True, but I have a question. How is Aang having all these dreams? That means he's getting some sleep. Because to have a dream, you have to be in REM sleep. You have to be in like deep sleep. So I feel like he's getting some sleep here. I'm surprised he's as tired as he is.
Aang is basically like being like, oh, I'm not going to sleep at all. And then sleeps for like, it's like your friend in college who's like, oh my God, I got like no sleep last night. And they like actually just got a full 8 hours. And you're like, honestly, you're just kind of being dramatic. And I wish that we didn't hang out so much. Like,
that sounded like oddly personal. Did that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been out of college so long. I'm so old. I couldn't possibly remember.
I mean, you said it, not me. So. So that is a good point. I think potentially maybe he had a dream that was just like a montage of all the ways it could go wrong. Like, you know, potentially it wasn't like three different dreams or something, but yeah, I didn't even really know about this REM thing. So I like Zach coming with the receipts on dreams.
Do you not know about REM sleep?
Well, I didn't know that you only dream when you're in REM sleep.
Yeah. That's what REM sleep is.
Does that mean that your dream, wait, okay, so REM sleep is like, it's like a cycle, right? So you're only in REM for like a portion of that cycle. And that like, how does anyone know how long it is?
Isn't it 4 hours?
I think it's like 4 to 6, something like that.
Because wait, one cycle is 4 to 6 hours? I thought it was 90 minutes.
No, the way that your body works is that it sleeps in sort of increments of 4 hours. And that's why people suggest you know, if you're going to get a certain amount of hours, maybe it's better to get 4 or 8 rather than getting like 5. But sleep is sleep to me.
Wait,
but yeah,
you're saying I should sleep for 4 hours instead of like 6?
No, I mean, I don't like fully agree with that. But there's something about like the way that your body sort of rhythm works that like 4 hours makes you feel like you've gotten the full cycle versus like 6.
Okay, but this is my more important question. So if your REM, like if the REM part is only like an hour of the night or something, then does that mean that your dream only lasts 1 hour and that like I just think that it happened the whole time?
Are you reading somewhere that it says that it only lasts an hour?
Well, I'm looking at this little thing and it looks like there's like 4 and then 8 hour sleep cycle. There's like 4 small stages of REM. No, like none are more longer than an hour.
We need like a dream expert on the podcast. We'll just have him on and interview him because this is going a little over my head. I don't know if I can explain.
Yeah, you know, I didn't go to school for science, so I couldn't tell you.
I didn't go
to school. I have so many questions. I literally have so, so many questions, but I guess we can answer them not on the podcast. anyway, I will look at that later this afternoon. Anyway, so Aang realizes he's like, you know, falling apart a little bit. Like Katara really like tries to get him to realize like, hey, you're going off the rails here. Anyway, yeah, there's not a ton here in this scene. Zach, do you have any other notes before we get to the yoga?
I like Sokka saying like, of course you're stressed out. You got to fight the bad Fire Lord, the baddest man on the planet, and you better win or we're all done for. like the delivery on that line was really good by Jack to say.
Yeah, I feel like he really missed the assignment here. He didn't realize that it's actually going to like cause him to be more stressed by quite a lot. So, yeah. Anyway, then Katara decides to try to help him, you know, a bit, tries to get his mind back in the right place. So they do some yoga. She seems like a pretty good yoga instructor. She seems calm. She's like, you know.
All right. You know, we got to talk about this scene. We got to talk about this. First of all, you guys ever do yoga?
I've been dragged to yoga a few times.
Mm-hmm. I've never done yoga, I don't think. Maybe once.
Yeah. Yoga's okay. You know, I like yoga, but it always makes me very sleepy. Here's what I say in my notes. Katara said, "Let me de-stress Aang by wearing undies." Because holy cow, she's just in this white little outfit. Katara knew what she was doing.
Whoa. Let's take a step back. You're saying that Katara had to wear more clothes to not arouse Aang.
She changed into this little white number, and that was like, wow, what is going on? No, I'm just joking. I mean, I think this was not the intention of the scene, but it did make me laugh that it was like cut to Katara in kind of her underwear. And it was like,
That's one way to de-stressify.
As we can tell, then immediately Aang fixed about some other things.
All right. Didn't expect that joke on the podcast.
This is a go to horny jail episode for sure.
Yeah, clearly.
Oh, Ang's definitely gonna be locked up in horny jail with a life sentence once we get to that scene for sure.
Correct. No parole. Anyway, so Aang, like this, the yoga ultimately doesn't work because they're doing the yoga in the heat. The heat is warm, warm is fire. And so therefore, boom, Aang's back in the stress. He feels like the Fire Lord's going to shoot fireballs at him. Like, you probably could have seen this coming. You could have done this like next to the ocean, like no reason to do it in the heat. The next attempt that we get is Sokka. Sokka in his full Wang Fire outfit decides to do some therapy. He has Aang laying on the koala sheet, which is just a beautiful place to be laying down. And Sokka's trying to go through the motions, tell him about like what's going on. I actually feel like this could have been a good idea. How would you feel if Wang Fire was your therapist, Zach?
I think all therapy's a joke. I don't think it really works, honestly.
Wow.
I've never had a good therapist. Maybe the ones I go to just aren't good, but yeah. Wow. I don't know. I feel like just like a real therapist, Sokka kind of gives him nothing here and doesn't find the root cause of the problem or anything.
Well, thank God we're not sponsored by BetterHelp. yikes.
Oy vey. Yeah. Well, shout out to my girl, Pat. Pat and I have been seeing each other for like 5 years.
Okay.
And no, I don't know. I think it's different for everyone, but I do think that Sokka, yeah, is not asking the right questions or getting Aang to actually think about what is troubling him. He's just like, so how does that make you feel? It's like, we get it. You're like Freud ripoff. We understand.
Yeah, I mean, Sokka's like just going through the motions, but I feel like if you gave him some proper training, he might be able to do it. You know, he can listen to some really serious problems and then, you know, have some comedy. He had a great technique of screaming into a koala sheep. Like, I actually feel like Sokka would not be a terrible therapist.
I do love screaming into a pillow. I have to say, when you're like stressed and you're upset, like just fucking scream, like go nuts.
Yeah, I used to punch pillows. Like I would like put a pillow on my bed and I was just like, and I'd get like all my anger out. It really works.
How old were you?
No need for the face. Like 9 or something.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I was going to say, anything older than that feels a little like, like, okay.
What if I said like 22? What if I was like,
that would have been troubling.
Hey, the pandemic was hard. Maybe I should have punched some pillows. Instead I just play video games, which also helps. So then he does this. I think I'm gonna skip the Azula and Zuko scene just for a second to talk about Toph's strategy to make him feel better. Toph wants to give him like a full-on like deep tissue massage. He like is on a bunch of these pillars. The pillars are all like disconnected and they're all like, you know, a bunch of different earth things. So then Aang is able to lay on the pillars. Toph is, you know, jumping around on him, causing them to go and like essentially like push different parts of his body. this looked like the best idea, in my opinion. I feel like this would have been nice. She should have just not had the pillars that are on his head also move, because that probably caused head trauma. But I feel like this would be nice for your back. So yeah, I'm surprised this didn't work.
I kind of wanted to try this. I mean, I got a massage from a friend and she was super cool. She's like a massage therapist. But the issue was she was kind of like too weak to get into the spots that I really needed. So then I was like, damn, now I realize why you need like an older, like strong Russian woman to be giving you a massage.
Oh, yeah. I've like fallen asleep on massage tables before. Like they just when the mood is right, you're just I'm out like a light. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I really feel like you do need someone who can like get in there, really dig deep. And I feel like if you have Toph like with her earthbending, like that's just gonna set you free. So I'm surprised it didn't work. But then Toph has another great idea where she gets one of the porcupines, which we've actually seen before when the porcupine fought Appa, like earlier in Appa's Last Days. But we see a little baby one, and Toph wants to try acupuncture. Which causes Aang to run away as quickly as possible. I thought this was pretty funny. As a kid, acupuncture was like one of the scariest things in the world. I don't know why.
Yeah.
My mom would go and get it. And when she told me what would happen, I would be like, oh my God, that's so scary. She's like, do you want to go with me one time? And I was like, no. And I'd like cry, like not wanting to go at all. It just sounds terrifying.
My acupuncture thing is, I remember I used to watch, you guys remember the show Thousand Ways to Die that used to come on Spike?
Yes.
There was a lady who was getting acupuncture done. She was like a texting addict, and then she was reaching for her phone and then she fell and then all the needles went into her and she died. And I was like, I never want to get acupuncture again. I never want to get acupuncture after seeing that. So yeah.
That show, why the fuck was I watching that show as a kid?
I know, me too. Well, why was I watching that as a kid? Honestly, probably effed me up a little bit.
It came on so late that it was like easy to watch it, because like I feel like if my parents saw me watching it, they'd be like, turn that off. But like they were already in bed by that point. So I was watching it and like that messed me up. That caused many nightmares and daydreams.
Did you ever watch the show that was like Greatest Warrior, where they would just like have like two different historical like fighters?
Yeah,
like, okay, so like a Yakuza would use like an AK-47, so like they'd probably win, like things like that.
Yeah, well, and didn't they like simulate the fights at the end?
Yeah,
I absolutely loved it. Yeah, although they always said, my friends and I would always joke, because every single episode they would say like, oh, that causes a severe laceration. They loved the word laceration, like more than anything I've ever seen in my life. Like in the night episode, I remember they just said it like 20 times and like we would joke about it for years afterwards.
That show was honestly a two-pack of ass, but I enjoyed it as a kid.
No way. Of ass?
Well, it's like, I feel like it hasn't aged well. Like, if you try watching it now, it would not be good. That's just my opinion.
No, not at all.
They should bring it back. It's a great idea.
It is a good idea, but I just feel like with their modern, like, they always had these, like, weird technological sequences that never looked good. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like they should bring it back, but then they should also do, like, MCU edition and like have like things fight, like have like I don't know, like a wizard fight the Hulk.
Yeah, I want one that's like, hey, so if Iron Man actually crashed into a building in this suit, his skull would explode. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah, I love it. Anyway, before we got the talk, we got some Azula and Zuko talking. Azula is like laying in what looks to be like the nicest spot of all time. It's also only made for one person, like max. Like, there's only one place to go, so like it's only made for her. So this is like luxury treatment.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Have you ever, like, I don't know if this happens for men, but when you get like a woman's haircut and they wash your hair, you have to sit in this fucking chair when they wash your hair, and you're leaning your neck on like a ceramic bowl, and it just hurts so bad. And I was looking at this and I was like, this does not feel comfortable to me. This feels like when I go get my hair washed at a hair salon before I get my hair cut. Like, it feels like they're going to break my neck.
I don't feel like the bowl hurts to put your head on. I feel like
it hurts so bad.
I feel like you're just not positioned right. Maybe it's like not the right height for you or something. Cause like, I feel like it's pretty comfortable.
I mean,
caresses your neck.
No, it like digs into the back. Maybe I just have a big ass head. Like, it just digs into the back of my neck. And like, I feel like it could like snap at any moment. I don't know.
Oh my. Yeah. You're not doing that one right. Sorry. No, I don't think that you're doing it right.
I'll go get a haircut soon and let you know.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, please do. Like, let me know. Like, oh yeah, I just had to readjust, and it's actually magically comfortable.
I don't think it's gonna be that.
All right. Well, Azula looks plenty comfortable where she is here. Zuko starts telling her about the war meeting, like, oh, I'm not welcome. Azula's like, yeah, of course you are. And then Zuko's upset because he doesn't feel included, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, like, Azula says, yeah, of course you're invited. You can go. Zuko storms off, says he's not going. This is really childish from Zuko. Real petulant child energy.
Yeah, Azula tells him to stop acting like a paranoid child, and then he just acts like a paranoid child right away. He's like, forget it, I'm not going. Like, what a baby. Just come on, be a man, just go to the damn meeting.
Yeah, like, literally the thing you could do to prove your jerk sister right is to go to the meeting and actually, like, be good in the meeting.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Yes. And then the next scene that we get with Zuko is Zuko's all upset about this. Mei's like, look, it's just a meeting. Like, get over it. And then she says, why would you even want to go? Just think about how things went to the last meeting you went to, which has to be a touchy subject for Zuko, who got burnt the last time he was at a meeting. Like, he literally got banished as a result of being at the last meeting. So
surprisingly, he takes that well. He's just like, yeah, I know. He's not like angry or anything like that at her for bringing it up.
Yeah, it actually feels very much like out of Zuko's character. Like, I feel like Zuko would like erupt and be like, don't mention that to me, or be like, don't you know I remember, or something like that. And instead he says, like, I know, and he gets all resigned.
But I feel like that's also like an evolution of Zuko, right? Like, over time he softens, and over time he becomes less, you know, he's still kind of a petulant brat in a lot of ways, but he starts to like understand that, like, you know, the shame that he feels is actually like people being really fucked up to him, like, and it's not his fault necessarily for being treated that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of get that. I just feel like at this point he just feels like he's still very angry. Mm-hmm. And that he hasn't had that heel turn yet, but maybe he's like further along than I'm giving him credit for. The next scene we get is we're back with Team Avatar. Everyone's so excited that they've helped him out. And Aang says, or Katara asks if he's ready to go to bed. And I quoted this line because I thought it was hilarious. He says, I kind of think I sort of might slightly feel a little better, maybe.
The most non-answer he could have possibly given.
Yeah. That is, I believe it was like 8 qualifiers in one sentence. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to say next time I don't want to do something and someone asks me to do it. I'm just going to be like, yeah, I kind of think I sort of might slightly want to go. Maybe. boom. Like, people would get the hint.
People would be so annoyed with you that they just wouldn't want to bring you anymore.
True.
And that would be a win for me. So there we go. Anyway, then we get the most weird dream. And Zach, I hope you took notes here because I was just so confused with what was going on.
I took notes, but it's bear with me here. My notes are a little all over the place. So Appa is, firstly, Aang is flying on Appa through a thunderstorm while like a giant Momo is attacking. Then he gets like transported to a bunch of different spots in the Fire Nation Palace. It's like when you're having a dream and all of a sudden it like turns into a different location. I think that's what's happening to Aang here. Then he hears like a distorted voice and sees like a Toph with no eyes, which I don't know why that scared him, but a Toph with no eyes. Then Sokka gets trapped in like a cave of mud that encases him, and then meanwhile Katara's like watching everything burn and she gets surrounded by flames. As Aang reaches out to save Katara, he gets frozen in ice while a silhouette of Ozai appears made out of flames laughing at him. Then he falls to the bottom of the ocean and sees a shirtless Zuko on the other side of ice. And then, meanwhile, Sozin's comet is flying, and then you see the giant Momo once again shushing him while the meteor hits and everything burns. And that's the end of his dream, which prompts him to wake up screaming.
Zach, you had plenty of notes. That was that was perfect. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I take my notes. I mean, you usually do the episode recap, but I take my notes, so there we go.
Well, my notes there were unhinged, so I'm glad that I did not have to give that recap.
What are your notes? What are your notes?
Toph has no eyes. Isn't she the best person to not have eyes? Doesn't seem that bad. which is true.
Oh my God.
Sokka gets sucked in oil. Katara is not there. Aang is in water. Ozai is fire. Momo says shush. I missed like four or five things in there. I didn't do a good job.
Momo says shush.
Yeah. Anyway, this one was like the weird dream. This is like the type of dream that, like, if someone was telling you about it, you'd just be like, okay. And like, sometimes when people are telling you your dreams, it's just so hard to understand what on earth they're possibly saying. Yeah. And this feels like very much like one of those.
If Aang came to me and told me about the stream, I'd be like, dude, you gotta not eat before bed or something, man. Like, this dream is just way too unhinged. But honestly, I feel like I have to call out like Toph, Katara, and Sokka for a second. I feel like if Aang has not slept for like 3 days, something is going on with this man, and you need to like have the intervention sooner, because he is unhinged. And like, they're mm-hmm. just like, oh, I don't know, he's being weird. It's like, no, you guys are not paying close enough attention to this young man who is crumbling under the pressure of having to save the entire world. Like,
that's yeah, true. And, that's a good
and
point.
And it seems like they don't really get it, because they're just like, oh, like, we can help you out. And it's like, no, like, this is like a pretty big deal. And like, yes, Aang is not dealing with it very well, but like, it does seem like they should be able to at least sympathize with like, oh yeah, he's dealing with like actual important things.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. You guys ever have a nightmare that made you wake up screaming? Because when I would dream about Wishbone and he'd be like eating me alive, I'd wake up like screaming every time. I'd wake up my whole family.
I'm not sure that I ever woke up screaming. Like, usually when I wake up and it's like a nightmare, I'll like pop awake. Whereas like most of the time when I wake up, I just like lay there for a bit. But I don't think I've ever like woken up screaming. Naomi, what about you?
I've never woken up. I sometimes have the dreams where like you feel like you're falling and you wake up and you're like, but like, yeah. I've never like had it that bad. I did have actually a nightmare the other night where my tooth fell out. I had a dream that, like, so I have two fake teeth, and I had a dream that the two fake teeth that I have like were out of my face, and like I couldn't put them back in. I lost them, and that was pretty scary. I like woke up and immediately was like, like, they're fine, they're there, don't worry guys. But it was very scary.
Yeah, that does sound pretty scary. Although, again, not to say anything like, you know, offensive or anything, but if you lost your fake teeth, that would be better than other people losing any of their other teeth. Like, same thing with Toph and her eyes. Like, if she already can't see, it's better for her to lose her eyes. Like, if they're already like replacement teeth, it's better for you to lose your teeth.
Yeah, but I already lost the teeth. That's the thing. I already went through it.
I mean, look, I agree. I'm just saying.
Jacob just wants Naomi to suffer more.
Yeah.
No, not one bit.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I would never. Anyway, so then Aang is really just going off the rails here. Katara comes up for him, like trying to care for him. And Aang starts to have this realization. He says he's realized some big things. And then he says that he understands why he's doing this, why he's trying to save the world. Because he's doing it for the people he loves. He professes his love for Katara, then kisses her, then they both kiss. He pulls her into a, like, I don't know.
Embrace?
Romantic,
I don't know.
Yeah, romantic embrace. And he says, baby, you're my forever girl. yeah.
Bonk, and then, go to horny jail. This is the moment.
Bonk.
Yeah, for sure. Because Katara is like standing there and is saying like, hey, I was saying you should take a nap. He realizes it was a daydream. And he thankfully gets off the hook for this one, because he does some pretty bad stuff.
Yeah, at least it was all a daydream. So it's not the worst, I suppose.
Are you saying that it's like it's bad to like kiss someone in your dreams?
No, I'm saying it's bad to like put her in that spot and saying like, I'm saving the world for you, profess his love, and then immediately kiss her. Like, I feel like you have to like do that and then give her a moment to process it. Like, I don't know. This is not the time to like profess your love.
I get that. I mean, but like, if not when, you know, like, what if they die in battle? Like, might as well.
Then write a note or something. Like, it just, it seems very selfish to say it here, but it's fine. The even worse part is that he's like saying, baby, you're my forever girl. That was the cringiest part.
Yeah, that was like, oh, here.
Anyway, go on.
I was going to say another thing that if somebody said to me, I would strangle them to death.
Fair. Fair enough. But he does say, he comes up with a good excuse. He says that he was dreaming about living underwater, which is so confusing that Katara doesn't even ask any other questions and moves right on. So that was a good strategy.
Shout out to the Jonas Brothers. Shout out to the Year 3000. Not much has changed, but we live underwater.
There you go. Yeah, that's what Aang was envisioning.
Yeah.
Anyway, we go back to Zuko. He's at the palace with May. By the way, he stays in May's house quite a lot, but I guess good for him. Anyway, he's at May's house, and one of the people comes in and they're like, hey, everyone's waiting on you. And the person explains that everyone else is there. You're the only one who's missing. And that the Fire Lord is not going to start the meeting until you're there. Zuko genuinely looks happy, and this made me feel really happy for him, even though I know it's not going to last, but good for him.
Good for Zuko. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, then Aang decides he's going to, I guess, like role play the fight, get ready for it. So he gets ready to fight the Fire Lord Ozai. He is doing this by putting the macaroni noodle picture that he made in Firebending School, or Fire Nation School, sorry. He puts the Fire Nation School on a tree with a nice little target underneath. I thought this was a great way to get ready. I was really liking this dummy that they had to fight.
Well, something I was surprised that they didn't talk about a lot in this moment was that Aang was like clearly missing and was sort of not hitting this target because he wasn't getting enough sleep. And I feel like that could have been a good lesson of like, listen, Aang, like you can over prepare all you want, but if you're tired for the big moment, then like you're going to fuck it up. But yeah, they didn't talk about that.
Yeah. I very much agree. And then yeah, like how he blames it on the fact that Ozai's defenses are impeccable is what he says, even though it's just the fact that he has worse aim than any stormtrooper. Like it was just terrible. Yeah,
exactly.
And then we go really off the rails here. It just goes downhill quick because Aang like starts to freak out a little bit. And we hear a voice from off the screen, like a nice little high-pitched voice that says something like, oh, you're really starting to lose it. And then Aang's like, Momo, did you hear that? And we hear the voice again said, no, but I said something. He says, you, my friend, are just a few plums short of a fruit pie. Which is a fantastic insult. And this is when we really go off the rails. Zach, what do you think when Momo started speaking?
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, I remember when I first watched this episode, this became my favorite part because then Appa comes in. Well, first Aang tries to talk lemur to Momo and the gang confronts him and they're like, okay, we're worried now. Then Appa comes in alongside the gang. He's like, you can't go on like this. You've got to take care of yourself. And I just love like Appa's voice there. It's just too funny.
Yeah. The funniest part is I was like, oh, I wonder who's voicing Appa. And then it like turns out they were Momo and Appa are voiced by D. Bradley Baker in this scene, which just was so funny to me. Like him fighting himself. I love it.
Yeah. Like in the studio, you can imagine that he's literally talking to himself, like doing both sides of the conversation, just having a great time.
Momo kind of felt like Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch in this moment, which I kind of loved. And I wish Momo could talk the whole show.
Well, okay, that's what I was going to say. So in one episode in the storm, like back in season one, Sokka says that Momo was talking to him when he felt really sick. And he said that that Sokka said some or Momo said some very unkind things is what he says in the episode. It seems like Momo is pretty mean in this episode, too. Is there a chance that this actually is Momo speaking and that Sokka really did hear Momo and Momo is just disrespectful?
I don't know. I feel like Momo's not that, wouldn't be that disrespectful. I feel like from what we see of Momo actually interacting with people and like other animals, seems like a pretty kind animal. So
he gets in the fight with that hawk, that war hawk a few episodes ago.
True. But he did befriend those like jungle cats or whatever in the city in Tales of Ba Sing Se.
Yeah. I mean, all right. I think it is rude to like, hide that you can talk the whole time. There's been other shows that have that reveal, right? Like, can't remember, but I feel like there was one that was like, you can talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's like a common thing that would pop up.
Animals who could talk the whole time. Google.
While Naomi's looking that up, Zach, can you give me your best lemur impression that Aang does?
Yeah.
This is great podcasting, just making like gibberish sounds into my microphone.
I cannot wait to listen to that at 2x.
Jacob, can you do an Appa impression?
The Appa impression, like have his voice. Zach did such a good job. I feel like I'm more
just like
to
just
do
like the sounds emo. He makes.
That was pretty good. I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that one.
See? I knew you could do it, buddy. Good job.
Thanks. I like that you believe in me. Do we find any other animals that could talk the whole time? Are you thinking of the Sixth Sense by chance?
No, I don't know what I'm thinking of, but I feel like there's been like a reveal in either like a cartoon or like a show that's like the animal could talk the whole time, but I can't think of what it is right now.
Okay, well, that was their dead the whole time. I didn't know if that you're mixing your...
I know the Sixth Sense.
I've actually never seen the Sixth Sense, so...
Dang.
Actually, I've never seen it either. That's
massive,
one of those
things... massive spoiler then. My bad.
No, I know the spoiler. Bruce Willis is dead. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, warning. Massive spoiler for the Sixth Sense. No, that's one of those movies like, you know, the thing that you know the most about, but like have never seen. I think Sixth Sense is up there for me. It's like, I've never seen the Sixth Sense, but I know so much about it. Inception also. I've never seen Inception, but I know so much about it.
I saw a TikTok recently that said if you get the cultural references, you don't actually need to watch the movie. And that, like, it does seem like there are some movies, like The Sixth Sense, like the dead the whole time thing. Like, I get nothing else out of having actually watched that movie. Like, no, nothing else will ever come up. Like, it'll never be useful. Like, I've got it. So it does seem like, yeah, if you get the cultural references, you're fine. I'm trying to think what my movie is that I know a lot about, but I've never seen. I've never seen a James Bond movie, but I'm very excited to go see the most recent one because there's a Billie Eilish song at the end.
I thought it's at the beginning, the Billie Eilish song.
Oh, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Is it the song? Then it would be the beginning. Yeah, then it's at the beginning.
Because Bonds always have like the cinematic, like introductory scenes.
Yeah, big with, opening like, sequence.
Playing. Yeah, big opening.
Oh, and they played that song?
Like, you know, the Skyfall song by Adele, like imagine like I've the big it. Opening credits of the movie are scored to that song. So if the Billie Eilish song is
really?
He's going to be right in the opening. So you could leave the theater like right after.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I bet they play it at the end in the credits too, right?
Yeah, but you could just like listen to it on Spotify, I guess, you know, like.
No, I'm going to go see it in Dolby so that it's like surround sound. So it sounds better.
All right. Have fun.
Okay, that was a little patronizing, honestly. All right, I think Naomi and I need to fight like Appa and Momo are about to. Momo and Appa, they get into this massive fight with each other where they're like, you know, arguing about Aang, and then it like starts getting all, you know, big personal.
Yeah,
it starts getting personal, and then Momo like wants to challenge him. He says, okay, let's go right now. Aang runs over to Sokka, and Aang's like, what do we do? And Sokka's like so confused. Aang points back, and we see a full-on like samurai fight about to take place. Momo is rocking a purple outfit with the ears like being essentially tied off to look like a nice little hairstyle. Appa's got full-on samurai armor, definitely going to be favored in the fight. Not only armor, but also has multiple swords, between 2 and 6, depending on the shot. It changes all the time.
I think he has 3, but then when he like goes into a tornado, it looks like there's multiple.
Well, at one point, he definitely has 4, I believe.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Might be a goof on the animator's part, but I think at the beginning of the fight, when you're just looking at both of them, he has 3 swords.
I thought the same thing, because I was like, I don't think Appa has 3 limbs. I thought he had 4, and then he ends up with a 4th sword, and I was like, oh, well, there we go.
I think he has 6 limbs, and then he like uses the 2 to stand, because he's like standing upright. Anyway,
it's like full General Grievous style, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was one of the best TikTok trends of all time is when people would sit on each other's shoulders and just like, they're just like, hello there. And they'd be like, General Knote, do you know what I'm talking about? We're like, oh, yeah. That was the best part of TikTok. We'll never get there again.
No. At least we're far away from berries and cream. That ruined the week of my life. Zach, are you on TikTok?
I'm not on TikTok, so sadly I don't get all these references. I know I got to get on it one of these days, but...
Well, you should be glad you missed like half the stuff. Half the stuff I'm so glad I don't have to ever watch again. But
yep.
Anyway, there's this whole fight. The koala sheep are taking sides. They're like, you know, ready to go. Half of them are chanting for Appa, half of them are chanting to Momo. We have Guru Patik that shows up. I'd say, I don't know, an advertisement for a chakra sandwich is what I had down.
I was going to say full Laiku from Latiku from Mario Kart, where he's...
Oh, yeah. True. He also has six arms here for some reason. He just has, Appa's limbs. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think that's, a common way of, showing people, in those poses is, with the six arms. I don't know the, proper name for it, but it is a common way to draw people. I've seen this before, so
okay.
I'm sure they're doing some sort of callback that I just didn't understand. Mm-hmm. It just keeps getting more and more weird here. We can stick with them for a bit, but it gets even more odd. There's rocks that all go around Aang. They start dancing around him. The sheep start, doing their own thing, jumping around. It gets odd. This is full nightmare. The tree that Ozai was on starts dancing. It gets really weird here.
Yeah.
I thought this part was pretty funny, though.
Yeah, I had a great time. I have to say the one thing I loved about this episode is each dream is weird, besides the one where the whole world explodes. The dreams are funny to an extent, and mm-hmm. They get in and they get out. They don't stick around too long. We cut back to other things. And I think that a different show would just have these dreams stretch out for hours and hours.
Yeah, they do a good job of that. They also they don't show Aang training the whole time. They just show him come back exhausted. In a second, we don't see any of the war meeting. We really get the parts that I care about. And this episode easily could have been 40 minutes showing each of the things for longer, but I don't care about those. I'm glad that we only got the 20 minutes that we got, and that we didn't stretch it out. So I think they did a good job there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we go back, or Zach, do you have any other thoughts on this wild dream sequence?
Not really. I mean, it was cool when Appa went into a tornado and started attacking with all his swords. That was pretty dope. Besides that, no other notes to mention.
That was really cool, but then Momo was able to defend against all of that barrage, which meant that Momo must be pretty freaking talented as a swordsman himself.
True, true. Yeah, we're rating this fight at the end, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's only an hour and 30 minutes into the podcast. We should probably wait and see if we're going to rank it until the very end.
Sure.
No, we should rank it. We should rank it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. Cool. Cool.
anyway, we go back to the royal palace. May's so supportive, great supportive partner there, waiting for Zuko after the meeting, excited to ask him how it went. And then Zuko right there is recapping it. He says, I was there. I was right next to him. I was literally at his right hand. He says, I was the perfect prince, the son my father wanted, but it wasn't me.
Wow. That's some Billie Eilish realizes,
yeah.
Well, we've compared Zuko to Billie Eilish on this podcast before, so
yeah, who knew that he was actually Shaggy the whole time with the "it wasn't me"? Did you boo my joke?
Yeah, somebody had to.
Oh yeah,
that's a little disrespectful. Okay, well, anyway, we get this with Zuko. It's really, this is the motivation for him defecting. We ultimately see the turmoil that he's going in. We see essentially he's where he wanted to be for the first two seasons. He has his honor, he has his life, and he's still not happy. And I think it's important to point out this is essentially why he's able to make the jump in a few episodes, and it's cool they set it up here, but also his entire journey throughout season two and season three.
Yeah, this is a filler episode, but this Zuko stuff is actually very important to his character progression. So it's filler for the gang, but not for Zuko.
Yeah, I watched all of Steven Universe. I adore Steven Universe. But something that I always found is that when there were filler episodes, they very rarely had like actual plot movement to them. And they would just be like, oh, look, the characters are building a closer bond or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think what is great about this episode is that even though it is a lot of filler, it is always both moving the plot forward and creating new character, either emotional points or like it's showing where a character is in the moment. And I think that something that a lot of media where it's like, you know, when someone's the chosen one doesn't do is show the anxiety of being the chosen one in a way that doesn't make them a whiny little bitch. And like, I don't think Aang is, whiny in this episode. I think Aang is freaking out in a way that's completely understandable. And so I really like this episode. I think that like when Jacob told me about it, he was sort of saying, oh, nothing really happens. But I think a lot happens in this episode. And I'm glad that we got to cover it. Like, I think it's a good episode of TV.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that is true. Like, ultimately, like, this isn't an episode where you have to know everything that went on before to be able to get it. So like, I think that's maybe why I think of it as a filler episode, but you're right. Like, the Steven Universe filler episodes mean absolutely nothing. Like, like nothing happens. They're hilarious, but anyway, yeah. Like, we do have, at least some character progression here. Anyway, the last scene that we get here is they have Team Avatar minus Aang has made this wonderful little sleep resort for Aang. There's like a nice little elevated area that has a bunch of this koala sheep wool. There's a ton of mist and fog around to create like this soothing environment. Aang is like, oh, like this is an imaginary bed made out of clouds. But then Team Avatar tells him, no, like we really want you to sleep. We got to make sure that you're okay. So we're going to hope you get a good night's sleep. Anyway, they get him ready for it. One thing that Aang asks to do is he's like, oh no, I need practice. And then he asks Katara to hit him. Katara's like, I'm not going to hit him. And Toph immediately is like, I can do it.
Oh, so funny.
So true to Toph's character. But anyway, they get ready to go. They all like motivate him. They tell him that he's like doing great. He says that he's ready to go to bed, and we go into his final dream. Zach, you want to recap this quick little dream?
Sure. Aang has another dream where Ozai tells him he's not wearing pants, and then he plays the Uno reverse card and replies to Ozai, it's you who's not wearing pants.
Yes, Uno reverse card indeed.
I have to say, I love, Ozai is voiced by Mark Hamill, and I think that something that Mark Hamill is really good at is both being villainous but being humorous in whatever voice he performs. And I think that this is like a great example of how talented Mark Hamill is as a voice actor, to the point where I didn't even recognize, like, I knew that he voiced this character, but I didn't even recognize it because the performance was so good. And then when I went back to listen to it, I was like, oh, classic Mark Hamill being Mark Hamill. But he really delivers like such a great comedic performance in this sort of goofy episode. I loved it.
No, I agree. I love when he's like, wake up, sleepyhead. It's just like his voice in that moment was so good. And Mark Hamill is such a talented voice actor. I've recently been watching the old Spider-Man cartoons and he voices the Hobgoblin in those. And yeah, he's just amazing as the Joker. Yeah. He's done so many like classic.
I was playing a video game where he's the Joker and it's like his voice acting is just so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. That's what we got for you. He's about to go to the invasion, the next episode. So next week we'll be, talking about the invasion proper as we're discussing the Day of Black Sun Part 1. But now we got some segments for you. First off, we're going to rank the episode. As a reminder, every week we rank the episode between 0 and 4 cabbages. We take my score, Zach's score, the listener score, and the guest score to get the official Aang in their score. So we know which episode was the best. Zach, how many cabbages does this episode get from you?
I'm going to give this a 3.4 out of 4. Initially, when I first watched this episode, I was always kind of down on it. But then after rewatching it a bunch and talking it through with you, Naomi, and Jacob, I think it's a solid episode of Avatar. I think a lot more happens than I realized. I think the comedy is good. The comedy lands for the most part. It's pretty funny. The dream sequence is pretty funny. Appa and Momo fighting is pretty hilarious. So, and we have the deep introspective stuff with Zuko as well. So overall, it's got like almost everything you want in an Avatar episode, and for that, I'll give it a 3.4 out of 4.
Okay. Naomi, do you want to go next?
I think it's a 3.2, and I say that highlighting all the pros that Zach highlighted. I think the one thing is, like, what I do love about Avatar is the imagery, and I think that while we had a lot of fun here, we don't have, like, some of the really, like, beautiful imagery that I love of Avatar, and there wasn't a lot of bending in this episode in particular, and that's one of my favorite parts of the show. So I'm giving it a 3.2, but it's definitely a B+ for me. I think it's a good episode.
Yeah, you're almost like right there with the listeners. The listeners at a 3.13. I'm a little bit lower, actually. I think I'm going to give it a 2.9 as an episode. Wow. I just don't feel like we got the parts of Avatar that really make it special. Like, there was no new part of the world that we explored. Mm. There wasn't, like, cool bending fights. Like, ultimately, it's a good episode, and Zach, like, points out a lot of its pros, but I just feel like, you know, it's an okay episode of TV, which is still a good episode of Avatar, but yeah, it's passing, but not by flying colors. That's going to leave the episode at a 3.16 for the official rating. And then we also need to rank the battle. Between Momo and Appa. Not something that you probably would have thought we'd need to rank if you just like are watching this for the first time with us. But yep, we have the two animals fighting. I think this fight is very funny. I can go first with my rating here. I think the fight is very funny. It's not that necessarily that good of a fight, but it does make me laugh when I watch it. It's a fight that I remember. And so for that, I'm going to give it a 3.3. Ultimately, it's not like a very cool fight. It's not very long, but it's funny. I remember it, so I'm going to rate it pretty highly relative to like what I think the fight actually is. Zach, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.5. Firstly, I'm like counting like the voice acting leading up to the scene where he's like, hey, wise guy, why are you talking to me like that? I don't know. Just like Dee Bradley Baker's voice is just too hilarious, even though they don't technically talk during the fight. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 4 because it's just so memorable. Like whenever I watch this episode, I'm like, oh yeah, the fight between Appa and Momo. Like I always just remember that bit of the episode so clearly. Like their outfits, like they're apparently both based on like certain anime. So it's pretty cool that they just have like these get-ups, and yeah, I love it. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 4. I'm a little higher on it than you, Jacob.
Sweet. Naomi, where are you on the fight?
I'm going to give it a 3.4. I think it's a lot of fun. I think that the voice acting is impeccable. And I think that with this scene, you never expect it. You don't expect Momo and Appa to just be like taking swings at each other, but they are. And like, that's the beauty of Avatar. I love that can just happen in this show, you know?
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think, wait, 3.4 is the average rating, right? Great.
Yeah.
I was gonna type it in my calculator and then divide, and then I realized that I could do it in my head. Hey, genius.
Oh my God, are you like good at math or something?
Oh my God.
I'm wow. Sorry, that was just too funny.
First appearance on this podcast, Naomi.
Correct. The last thing we have is a tea quartet that Naomi actually came up with in the pre-show. I think it's a great idea. We're going to be tea quartetting an actual quartet. So that's going to be a viola, a violin, a cello, and a bass. Although I guess I said them out of order, right? In size, it's like violin, viola, cello, bass.
Yeah, and this isn't technically, like a real quartet would be two violins, a viola, and a cello, but this, for example, we're doing the quartet of string instruments.
Wait, what?
A quartet, if there was let's say you wanted a quartet to perform at an event you were hosting, it would be a violin, violin one, violin two, a viola, and a cello.
What if I wanted a bass to be there as well?
Then you could have that, but then you start kind of just forming a big old orchestra.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, shows you what I know.
Yeah, but I will say that like the quartet of string instruments, the four iconic string instruments, we gotta rank them.
Well, yeah. Now I'm confused about like you know, the different like the difference between the first violin and the second one, which one would be what bender, but we'll do this one. I got some rankings from, or I got some like, you know, things from my friend who's an orchestra director, who responded almost immediately. So I'm glad that it took him no time to think at all. So that's going to be what forms my opinion. But Naomi, do you have any like firm opinions on where should go?
Oh, yeah. I was in band for a long time and also in orchestra. My opinions are not wrong. Violin, violin, Fire Nation. Viola, Airbender. Cello, Waterbender. Bass, Earthbender.
All right. I find that very interesting. So my friend Chris wrote in and he said, violin and bass are certain. Violin is fire and bass are earth. He said viola and cello could maybe switch, but he put viola at water and cello at air. Just from what I know about the instruments, it makes sense that bass is earth. Like, it's the most stable one. It's like, you know, playing the bass line, maybe, if that's a thing. Probably not. I think that's for guitar. Who knows? I'm clearly exposing that I know nothing.
Yeah, I'm.
You know more than
I would suggest, Jacob, that you just move on from whatever you were just saying.
Okay. Can you give me some reason why viola should be air and cello water?
Well, Zach, first I want to know what Zach thinks, and then I'll give you my reason.
I have no idea. I wanted to ask, why is violin so obviously fire?
Well, because they're the divas. They're the divas. Oh my God, the violinists. Like, that's like, and a lot of the time violin pieces are really like, if it's like a very fast, that's the kind of instrument that has like the fast pieces that like the, you know, like you think about somebody like fiddling or something like that, right? The you know, your fingers are moving at like lightning speed. It's a lot of sort of frantic. Not all the time. Like, there's obviously beautiful slow violin pieces, but like that's the instrument that I think has the most. So when I think of cello, my very first instinct is like thinking about like the Bach pieces, and that's very water to me. Like the sort of arpeggios where it goes up and down and all this stuff. Like, cellos are a little more smooth and like sultry to me, whereas like a viola is a little more light, a little more up in the air, even though it's not necessarily the lightest of the pieces. I think that it's very air. It's very gregarious too. Like, viola players, they don't get the melodies a lot. They don't get their opportunities to shine very often. And I think that the airbenders are very like, you know, they're generous people, right? And so that's why I think a viola is an airbender.
You know what? I absolutely love it. That sounds like the definitive ranking to me. Yeah, I will stay out of it. Do not worry. Violin, fire, viola, air, cello, water, bass.
If you disagree, you can at me, but I think I'm right on this.
I think you're right, too. You're coming with receipts. You're coming with great reasons. Sounds right to me. Zach, anything else we got to do on the podcast today?
Nope. I'm excited for next week. And we don't got to do anything else. So that's it. Thank Perfect. You very much, Naomi, for coming on. You were great. You were amazing.
What
Naomi.
A privilege to be here. What, you want to say something, Jacob? What's up?
Where can people keep up with stuff that you're doing?
You can follow me at Naomi Calhoun on Twitter. I'm season 2 of Mike White Was Robbed is brewing. I have sent a lot of DMs to a lot of people, and I cannot wait for those episodes to start recording. Mike White Was Robbed is my podcast, but you can also listen to me on the Brazilian Dragon podcast covering movies, where me and Felipe have just an unhinged time. And I was recently on Renap, and I was recently a couple weeks ago on the RHAP Rewind. So check those out. Those are some wonderfully funny episodes that I had a great time being a part of.
I highly recommend all of the above, especially like the Renap episode, obviously must listen, but the Rewind was iconic. So yeah, definitely check that out.
That was such a weird show. Those people LARPing as superheroes.
I know.
Couldn't believe that was real. Honestly. Yeah. That was a great episode.
Such funny moments. Zach, where can people keep up with you?
You can keep up with me on Twitter at ZachMohammed32. And where can they find you, Jacob?
On Twitter at JKRedman. Anyway, that's all we have for you this week. We'll be back next week to talk the Day of the Black Sun, Part 1, The Invasion, as everything comes to a head during the eclipse. Excited to talk through that one. Until next time, see ya.
Peace out.
Bye.